our love, all of our allegiance, our praise and honor belong to you. We give it to you now, freely and openly, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you, Kerry. Thank you, team. Wow. I'm going to do something a bit different, Mash. Can you turn to the book of Hebrew? Where am I? 2 Kings chapter 6. And I'll start at verse 15 and read down for 5 or 6 verses. You know, we've sung some amazing songs there, all about the glory, the wonder, and the goodness of God. His amazement, how good he is to us, and how his mercies and his goodness are for us. It's so incredible how many people don't understand or comprehend that, or have a misconception of God. Oh, you get out of line, God's going to get you for that. No, God's just encouraging us back. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You know, he says you'll find peace for your soul. And if we get disturbed or caught up in the issues of life and all the other things around us that pressure us and that challenge us, we need to be conscious of the Lord Jesus. You stop that in Jesus' name. And you know, it is amazing how so many times we forget that the goodness of God is for us. For us. And yet we have a picture of God being somewhere out there in oblivion, so far away from us, that somehow we think he's not interested in us. But he's as passionate about each one of us on a daily basis as he could ever be. There's not a sparrow, the Bible says, falls without our Father in heaven noticing. But we bandaged that up last week and it's decided to unbandage. But anyway, give me a hand mic, yeah, please. Thank you. So I want to just challenge your thinking. I want to challenge your thinking away from the traditions of churchianity and Christianity that we've grown up with. You know, I heard it said recently that quite often, because we've been taught over a certain period of years, a certain way of life and a certain set of Christian protocols, that whenever we hear anything, we go back to our default mode without thinking. And God is an everlasting God, but what he wants to do is reveal himself to us forever. From here to eternity, we'll never, ever fully get to know God and his fullness. It's beyond our imagination, that. It really is. And I was talking to a guy this week that I've known for many years, and he just rang up out of the blue and was talking to me. He said, I haven't been to church for over 30 years. And yet when I was talking to him, he talked as fluently and as clearly as about God and God in his life and what God's doing and how the Lord's been challenging him on certain things and how his life has been, you know, really blessed, because he actually is an active member of the Porsche Club. So he's up there with a few people that have got a few bucks in their back pocket, you know what I mean, and elsewhere as well. And he said, oh, we had a new fella join about 3 weeks ago. And he said, oh, good, you know, we've got an event next week. Would you like to come along and I'll meet you there? And so, yeah, they talked for a bit on the phone. And when they got down there, he didn't recognize the guy because he hadn't met him before. The fella comes, he says, oh, hello, you're Con, I'm so-and-so. And he says, oh, lovely to meet you. So I'm the guy that you're on the phone to for an hour and a half during the week. And Con said, yeah, well, you talk a lot, don't you? Well, Con's, you know, he's one of these guys, you wind him up and he didn't know, there's no stop button. And he just made a joke about it. But he said, then he found out the guy was a Christian. And because he said, oh, I trust you, you're really blessed during your time in the Porsche Club. And the guy says, that's an unusual saying. He says, you know, you're a child of God. He says, yes, I am. So amazing. Con said, there's now two of us in the club that are backing up the word of God. And he said, so many people that he goes to dinner with, and he says they often have a meal together. He says, I never eat before we start. We have to give thanks. And he said, so many people that have just stopped and commented, wow, that was so special. That was real. You said that like you meant it. And he says, I do. He says, God, I love God. I love his word. That Bible sitting on my coffee table, there's not an ornament. I read it every day. And he said, I get so much out of it. So the reality of God has to be in us. Knowing I'm found in Christ is the most amazing phrase of words there. And Christ is found where? In us. Some people have said to me over the years, oh, you know, I was praying and praying, but my prayers didn't seem to get any higher than the ceiling. Well, I've got news for you. It doesn't have to get any higher than your nose, because Christ dwells in your heart by faith. He dwells within us. And he is, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are constantly open to their cry and their prayers. But sometimes we just have God a long way away. I mean, how many of you, where do you think heaven is? How many people here have got a concept of where heaven might be? What have you been taught? How far? Huh? How far? I want to just blow that concept out of the water for a minute. Because I really see God as being so close to us that we don't understand. We think, oh, God's on his throne up there somewhere, and if we pray, he'll hear us. No. Let me tell you something. He is closer than a brother, the Bible tells us. What? You see, the power of the presence of God is omnipresent, which means everywhere. There's nowhere that he isn't. He's omniscient, all-knowing. And all those wonderful expressions of God. This scripture from 2 Kings. We should be able to read up there, chapter 6, 2 Kings, 2 Kings 6, chapter 14, verse 14. 2 Kings 6, 14 and on. If you've got a Bible, you can read it in there as well. And this is a time when Elisha was out with his servant being chased by enemy soldiers that wanted to take him out and kill him and all that sort of thing. And a king had actually sent these soldiers out to chase down Elijah. Verse 14, therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and they encompassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God, who was Elisha, was risen early and went out, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant came in and said to him, alas, my master, how shall we do? How are we going to get out of this? What is going to happen to us here, in other words? He comes into Elisha. What is going to happen now? How are we going to cope with this? And the servant saw in the natural the armies of the king who'd come to capture Elisha and take him out. I love Elisha's answer. He says to him, he answered him and said, fear not, for those that are with us are more than they that are with them. Don't be afraid. We've got a greater amount with us than they've got with them. Now, you imagine yourself in a building as you and Elisha, and you know the city has got X amount of people in it roughly, and I'd be sitting there thinking, Elisha, me. The guy's lost his marbles. You know, he'd be thinking, what's he on about? Don't be afraid. There's an army out there, camped there to take us out, to track us down. And he says, don't be afraid. There's more with us than with them. And he's like, you could tell probably by the look in his eyes, there was something going on in his mind that really didn't compute well. And Elisha just said that. And Elisha prayed and said, and this is the amazing part of prayer, praying for other people to be able to see God and to understand God is one of the most privileged things that we've got. Because we can pray for people at work, we can pray for people in our homes, we can pray for our families, for our relatives. And God never ceases to listen and hear our prayer and our cry. We sometimes want the action instantly. And I don't know what this young fellow was thinking who was Elisha's servant, but Elisha just said this, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. I think that's the most amazing and profound thing that could have been said, because here he was in a room, two of them, and there's an army outside, and the guys just said, there's more with us than with them. And he says, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. Sometimes we don't have eyes open to be able to see when we cry out to God. Everything else talks to us and screams at us, takes our attention, gets our mind thinking, gets us churning over the pros and cons of what the situation may or may not be. And we don't take time to allow God to open our eyes to look to him for an answer or for direction, for comfort, for peace, for solitude. And the peace of God passes understanding. The peace of God will keep our hearts and minds. The two areas in life that jump the most when we are troubled is internally we get anxious. Your gut gets turned in knots. Is that the right way I can put it? Anyone felt that way? Is that the sort of thing that happens? Yeah. And then your mind starts racing. Oh, what if? And every possible scenario goes through your mind that could eventuate as a result. Isn't it funny how sometimes we think of things that could happen, but even if we never worried about them, they don't happen anyway. It's just weird, you know. I don't know if you're like that, but I've had situations. Oh, I've got to go in and talk to this person, and this will probably happen, and that'll probably happen, and something else will happen. And do you ever work out the things in your mind before you've sort of gone anywhere, and you almost build up a scenario of your expectations, and you walk in there and. Ken, so good to see you. Look, I've been looking forward to catching up with you because I found something was wrong in da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you go, but you thought everything was going to go against you, and all of a sudden it's turned in your favor. And everything you thought and everything you feared and everything you churned over and every situation and circumstance that you thought you were going to have to face, just guess what's washed away with a completely different scenario. We put ourselves through a lot of stuff for no reason. And I don't think Elisha's servant was any different. And Elisha just said that. I pray you open his eyes that he may see. And you can see where I'm going with. And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he looked and saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire, or chariots of fire, all around Elisha. What? How does that happen? And then they came down to him, and when they came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray you, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. Listen to this. This is God's servant. And Elisha went out and said to them, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man that you're seeking and you're looking for." And he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass when they came to Samaria, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, "My father, or my master, or my servant, or my, the prophet," he called him my father, "shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?" And he answered, "You shall not smite them. If you smite them," etc. He had compassion on them. Let's just continue. The Lord opened their eyes and they saw. Let's continue on a bit more, Anthony, if we can. A couple of verses. Another one. He said, "You shall not kill them or smite them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." I don't know. You know, if I had someone chasing me down and wanting to harm me or take me out, how much grace of God would I have to be able to turn around if they were in my hands, captive, totally before a king who would hold them captive and prepared to take them out? He could kill them all at one word, send his soldiers onto them. And he says, "Don't do it. Don't do it. Just give them food and water and send them on their way." Well, the grace of Elijah was beyond my imagination. But the whole scenario in here that I want to point out is that the eyes of the young man were opened. I want to know if your eyes are opened when trouble comes your way, when problems rise up in your life, when things start to discourage and disturb you and it becomes a problem to you, and you're generally wondering what you're going to do next. Where do we turn to? And when Elijah said to God, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see," Elisha had a full consciousness of the heavenly realm around him. That's amazing. He actually was there when Elijah was taken, who was his master and forerunner, up into heaven, where a chariot of fire came down and took Elijah out of his presence and up into the presence of God. Now, that's a pretty amazing thing. Elijah and Elisha had both had an amazing insight to the power, the presence, and the closeness of God right in their very little circle of area surrounding them. I don't know if you could see in this room, and I'm not going to pretend to be Elijah and say, "Lord, open your eyes that you may see." But by faith, we need to understand that the power and the presence of God is not far away from you. It's not somewhere distant. It's not somewhere that you have to try and find, seek out, or look for, or go into some form of meditation or trance to find. The power of God and the presence of God is number one within you, and number two surrounding you. I don't think heaven is as far away as what we think. We've been taught, and the default mode is that, you know, we're on earth and then there's the stars and somewhere beyond there, there's God in his heaven. Well, where God dwells physically is probably a figment of human imagination, because we have our own dwellings, we have our own cities, we have our own countries, we have our own abodes and wherever we live at. But God is not bound by natural circumstance. God is not bound by natural land or natural whatever. He is beyond that. He's far outside of that. And you know, if we could just see, what about Jacob? He was running from God. And he gets out into a desert place and he's tired and he gets down to sleep. And then he gets a dream. And in that dream, he sees angels ascending and descending into wherever he is. He sees them right there where he is. The power and the presence of God is not restricted by space, time, or distance. God is closer than we need. We need to understand that. We need to see our eyes. We need to see God through the eyes of his word. We need to see him through the eyes of the spirit. And that's why we are body, soul, and spirit. Our natural man minds the natural things. But the spirit man should be in tune with spiritual things. We always tend to judge things by the flesh first, because it's what we can hear, what we can see, our natural senses, our taste, our touch, our smell, gives us our capacity to operate on planet Earth. But the spirit man gives us a greater capacity to operate in the realm of the kingdom of God. And that kingdom, the Bible says, the kingdom of God is where? Sorry? Within you. Whoo-wee. That absolutely does my head in, but it gives me such intense joy and excitement, because I cannot understand that with my natural mind. But I have spiritual eyes that look at the word of God and believe God's word for what it says. And when I see that written, when I understand what the Bible is saying, I then challenge myself by faith to receive it and believe it. I don't want to read God's word and think, oh, that was an interesting passage of scripture, or this was that. I was talking to this guy during the week, as I told you. And he said, Ken, have you ever read the Bible and you come across a verse? And you know you've read that chapter and that book and that thing before. And all of a sudden, you read it and it's like it stood out and it's like a magic neon sign. Where did that come from? I can't ever remember reading that before. That has never been highlighted like that to me. And God just takes something out of his word and turns it into a revelation for us, for our lives, to get hold of and begin to walk in and grasp to understand God. God is so close. If we could see the spirit realm in this building, right in this room now, we would be amazed at what God has surrounded us with. I wouldn't know if it was chariots of fire or angels or missions from heaven or something, but we would see a heavenly realm that natural man doesn't understand. We look at space and we think God's somewhere way out further than that. No. He's here. He's here. And if we could be like Elisha in every circumstance that ever comes across our pathway, Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open my eyes that I may see. That's in the Bible too, where others were not sure. Lord, open my eyes that I might see. Give me insight. Give me understanding beyond my natural capacity. We've got these two physical eyes here. Gives us capacity to walk around the world, but our inside us we have spiritual eyes. The Bible says to this, let the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. And to do that is to prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It's not good for some things acceptable and others perfect. It's good, perfect, and acceptable in every measure all the time. Though the eyes of your understanding you be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the glorious inheritance you have as his saints is. That's what it says. What glorious inheritance we have. We've got to have eyes that are eyes of understanding to know who God is, to understand his word, to see him as he wants to be seen, as he wants to be known. He has come to reveal himself to us. And we need to be more alert spiritually to take hold of that and be aware of the fact that God is nowhere any further than here. Be conscious of that. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That challenges us to be filled with the Spirit of God and to be filled with His Spirit. Speaking how? To yourselves. I don't know about you, but I talk to myself. I need talking to sometimes. And I talk to myself using the Word of God. You're a child of God. You know better than that. You need to walk in the light that God has put within you, and you need to understand what God wants you to do in this situation and to not react to people's, you know, disgruntledness or something or other, because they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So if I react in the flesh, obviously I'm displeasing God. I need to be aware of the Spirit of God in me. And I talk to myself. I don't think there's a day goes by that I don't challenge myself with the Word of God and tell him, you know, to say, no, I'm not going to take that attitude. I'm not going to get mad with that person. God, I need to be sure that my attitude is right, that my heart is right. And I'm challenging myself. Come on, buddy, get into line. Come on, mind, get into line. Come on, thinking, get in line, aligned with the Word of God. And be the person that God has made you to be. I need talking to you. I'm telling you, I haven't got it all together. But I challenge myself regularly, more than once a day, I can guarantee you that. You know, even today when I went and had a shower, I looked in the mirror and I thought, you got mad today. Why? You're a disgrace. Get in line with the Word of God. Let God shine through you. And I'm looking at myself in the mirror like, oh. And we need to be like that constantly. Speak to the circumstance. Speak to ourselves in the circumstance. If they don't know what to say, just say, Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open my eyes. Let me see from your perspective. How good is that, eh? How good is that? And that's all Elisha did. And the servant saw. And he saw the in the spirit realm. He didn't get taken away anywhere. He didn't get whisked off to have a look at some distant monstrous kingdom somewhere. No. His eyes were open to what was already in the atmosphere around them. There are more with us than there are with them. Whew. There's more on your side than anything this world can throw at you. Far more. The kingdom of God is within you. That's where the rulership and the reign of Christ needs to be exercised from. That's where the king wants his expression from, within us. Amen? I'm not going to go on any further. I think I've said enough to challenge you and make you think. But I'm asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, open all of our eyes. Open the eyes of our understanding that they'd be enlightened, that we can see beyond what's around us, so we can see beyond our own circumstances, that we can see beyond our own thinking, our own default modes of understanding. I pray we'll be challenged to learn and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus and be found in him, not having our own life and understanding, but the life of the kingdom of God within us. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless God. Is He God good or what?